This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Andrea Seabrook. Afghan, British, and U.S. forces closed in today on a town held by the Taliban in southern Afghanistan's Helmand province, the world's largest region for opium poppies. Since the U.S. invaded Afghanistan, American officials have looked for ways to cut poppy production. Instead, production has soared, and the United Nations says Afghanistan now accounts for 93% of the world's opium supply. Joel Havenstein worked in Afghanistan on a U.S.-funded project to lure Afghans away from the poppy crop. In that sense, he was one of the foot soldiers in America's war on drugs. He survived, but his project took a tragic turn. It's the subject of his new book, Opium Season, which he discussed with my colleague, Jackie Lydon.
Joel Havenstein, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
The project that you write about in this book is in the fall of 2004. You're going down to Helmand province.
Yes.
What was the intention of the project?
That project was supposed to be a short-term cushion to create as many cash-paying jobs as we could, because that year was one of the first years where there was a big spike in poppy production. And the political pressure in the States and in Afghanistan for there to be a big eradication program was intense. Now, USAID and the other aid agencies knew that if there was widespread poppy eradication, most farmers and laborers had nothing to fall back on. So USAID's response was to send two of its contractors into two of the biggest poppy-producing provinces with a mission to create as many cash-paying jobs as possible, short-term stuff, pick-and-shovel work, in the canals and on the roads of Helmand province.
And before we get to all the things that went wrong, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about opium. I mean, it is a beautiful flower.
And it's a crop that's very well-suited to the problems of Afghanistan right now. It's a crop that doesn't require refrigeration. The opium gum, when you've harvested it, will keep for quite a while. You can take it out over bumpy roads without it being ruined. And there's a really well-established structure of traffickers providing loans to farmers, landlords being willing to provide land to poor sharecroppers if they'll grow poppy on it. Poppy means so much more than just cash to these Afghan farmers.
So did your colleagues, your American colleagues, believe they were making a difference over the winter, the early winter of 2004? Did you think we really are going to reduce this year's poppy crop? We really are pulling in these outlying areas? We really have substituted cash for work?
Well, I don't think that we thought that we would be the substitute for poppy. I mean, we saw ourselves as a safety net for this eradication program that was planned. And while our project was going on, the long-term alternatives project was starting up that was going to be providing rural electrification, alternative crops, alternative business opportunities, even off the farm, for Afghans so that there would be something that would last after the donor money stopped. Yeah, because that's what a real alternative to poppy is that we're talking about. The cash for work jobs that we were creating, they were politically important, and they were an important transitional safety net. But themselves, we weren't under any illusion that that was going to push out poppy.
So, Joel Havenstein, it's going along more or less well. You're about to turn over your own duties to someone else when May 2005 comes around and it's beginning to unravel and a tragedy occurs.
By the end of the opium harvest, of the poppy harvest, we had several of our monitoring staff who went to measure some of the drains that we were planning to work on in Babaji, and they were ambushed. They were killed. And one of my friends who was killed, his parents arranged to have his body brought up to Kabul for burial. And on the way up there, the funeral convoy of some of his relatives and some volunteers from our staff, they were ambushed and killed.
You lose 11 different people in those several days. What were you thinking?
I was just completely shattered. You know, we had been working really hard to get this project off the ground. There were a lot of people who were extremely welcoming of us, and I could see, as these attacks happened, that all of that was going to fall apart, that we weren't going to be able to keep working in those areas because we just didn't have the security to keep that going. That was extremely hard.
As sad and horrible as these losses are, there's a sobering reality about what it really means to be working in this kind of narco economy in Afghanistan. And a terrible line, and I hope you won't take this the wrong way, came into my head, the Alexander Pope phrase, "Fools rush in where angels fear to tread." One thinks about the naivete of certain AIDS efforts, the inability to grasp the underlying narco economy and who's fighting who and where you are in the equation.
Some of these things, it's not a question, I think, of naivete. It's a question of trying to do work in an area where many of these things aren't knowable even to anyone. In the Afghan government, half of it doesn't know what the other half is doing. These are very murky waters, but I'm not sure that that is a reason to do nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, my strong feeling after these attacks on our project was not that we should give up and go home, but that it showed that before projects like ours could really make an impact, there was a largely neglected area that needed to be addressed, which was security reform, which was trying to work with the Afghan police and reform them in a way similar to what we are doing with some success with the Afghan army.
Why do you continue to work in Afghanistan?
Well, personally, it's a country that I've come to feel a deep passion for. It's a beautiful country where I have a number of very close friends. It's a place that I find hard to abandon. And I think that that's not a completely irrational hope. It's certainly true that I wouldn't go back to Helmand at this point. And yet, there is still, I'd say at least half, probably over half of Afghanistan, where security remains good enough for development work to make a real difference. And not just in the opium poppy issue, but I think, more generally and in many ways more importantly, creating jobs, bringing electricity, improving roads and irrigation. These are things that in a country that's as has fallen as far as Afghanistan fell in the 25 years of war, it's not that hard to make quite a dramatic difference.
Joel Havenstein is the author of the book Opium Season, A Year on the Afghan Frontier. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.